Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Rice to Meet You, your comedy podcast about Asian culture. As per usual for our Thursday episodes, this is a pre-recorded episode that we did with our guest before the lockdown. Don't worry, we haven't broken any rules. We've just been hardworking Asians. I'd also like to remind you guys of our next live event, Rice to Zoom You. It's a live podcast recording that we host on Zoom, so that you as a listener can join in, no matter where in the world you are. It's happening on June 26th, and the ticket link is in show notes. And remember, Rice Emperors get in for free. So if you've thought about upgrading your Patreon tier, now is the time. Just get in touch with us and we'll sort you out. We hope that you're well wherever you are. And hopefully, we'll be back to a regular everyday soon. And now, on with the show.
I'll make the funeral funny. Just you wait.
We'll do it. Oh, just please don't be offended.
No, I'm not offended.
It's all right. People die all the time.
4 months ago, my dear father passed away, and
I'm sorry, Dad. I'm so sorry.
I'm gonna throw this at Bobby Peckett on you.
Welcome to Rice to Meet You, a comedy podcast about Asian culture. I'm your host, Evelyn Mock.
And I'm your co-host, Nigel Ung.
Yay! And today we have our very special guest, Jen Celestial Peach.
Hello!
Yeah!
I just said Celestial Peach as if it's your surname, but it's like your Instagram handle.
It is. It's actually CelestialPeach_UK.
Oh my god, you can't even get Celestial Peach.
Someone's hogging it. And I think they've only got like 13 posts on Instagram, and I'm like,
that's so annoying.
Stop sitting on that.
Yeah. What does Celestial Peach mean?
Actually, I've had a lot of Chinese people ask me this, and I didn't realize it wasn't so common, but it's the myth of the peach of immortality.
I know this story. Did somebody else on our podcast tell us that?
No.
Then somebody else told me that.
Yeah.
So I know the story. It's the god who holds the peach. Mm-hmm. So his secret to immortality was that you had to fuck virgins.
Okay, this has gone off.
I don't think that's a peach.
And that's why he was holding a peach. I thought that's what Elaine Chong told me.
Yeah.
Really?
I
wouldn't trust Elaine Chong with a Chinese knowledge. She grew up in Surrey.
Yeah.
Okay. It did sound suspicious when she told me, but then I was like, okay, maybe it makes sense.
Yeah, no offense, Elaine, but I think I'm making it up.
Sorry, Elaine. The peaches of immortality were the peaches that grew in the heavenly kingdom in Chinese mythology. And anyone who took a bite of these peaches, which blossomed every, I think, 3,000 years, basically had immortality. And the Monkey King.
Yes, I was about to say that. Yeah, Journey to the West.
Yes,
they were trying to steal the peach.
Yeah. Sum Hong.
Yeah, Sum Hong. He stole these peaches, and that's why he became, from a sort of lowly, humble monkey, he became a super monkey with like superpowers.
A monkey man,
yeah.
Yeah, he had to protect the monk on the journey to the west. Journey to the west.
Yeah. How many versions of that story have there been in like recent?
Tons.
So many.
It's
so
tons.
Many.
It's just a good template to write anything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big new monster. That's a scorpion. And then we have this go on an adventure.
Sim Hong is like Chinese Marvel.
If Marvel can make 15 movies in a year, Journey to the West, we can make like 3 versions in the lifetime.
Totally. With Donnie Yen.
Yeah. Always Donnie Yen.
Never ages. What's up with him?
I think he's aging a little bit. I think there's in Asian films, the makeup department's really good. They keep
a lot
it looking.
Of plastic surgery.
He's eating those peaches.
We are pro plastic surgery on the Rice to Meet You podcast because I view it as a solution to a problem. And I'm all about solutions, people.
What's the problem?
You hate your face. That's the problem.
No.
And I don't know if you know this, but I just realized I'm the woke one on the podcast.
No.
You know, Jen?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On International Women's Day, Nigel is claiming to be the woke one.
Yeah. We are recording this on International Women's Day, which I think should be every day.
Yeah.
Oh, God. you just proved that you were the woke one, Nigel. Yeah.
So why is that? Please.
Why it should be every day?
Show your workings.
Because
why are you the woke one on this podcast?
If you look through our Apple podcast reviews.
Yeah.
The number of people complaining about racism towards whites is always things Evelyn says.
No way.
Seriously. Look it up.
It's only three comments, and one of them was Nigel caused. So the other two was me. Yeah. The other two was were actually people who were upset.
I flagged it as spam
or hate speech.
Yeah, I know.
Report that immediately.
I have. Apple doesn't seem to care.
No, they never care. Like Instagram as well. We put up like a video.
I saw.
Yeah, of the sketch thing with people, a Chinese sketch show having fun about Hot Pot.
I thought that was really funny.
It was. Like the sketch was basically, you know, making fun of how Hot Pot restaurants are expensive. So the people just took like their own food into the restaurant. Yeah. But the joke was that they took like a whole chicken, like a whole fish, like everything was too big for the pot.
Yeah.
And that clip went viral. And the first, like, 3 weeks, nothing. Just nice comments. Mm. And then, like, as soon as Corona, so many racist comments on it. And I reported it to Instagram, and they're doing nothing about it. And so I've closed our comments.
No. Mm. I saw the number of views we got, and I was just really happy already. Yeah. I don't care.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, the follower number ticks up. I don't care. Shit on me.
It was it was clickbait, wasn't it?
It wasn't clickbait. It wasn't clickbait. It's good content. I make my own memes. I recently had a meme about K-drama hair. You can get shot twice and still have perfect hair. And that's doing the rounds. A Malaysian radio station posted it on their Instagram. Yeah.
Very good. I mean, you're sporting a bit of the K-drama hair today, right?
Thank you. Thank you. You make me
dance better. Oh, God. Nigel.
What? That's what?
Does that get played every time I compliment you?
Yes.
Once.
Yes.
Just once in the podcast. Fine. We have a limit on how many times I can press these buttons.
He presses them all like five times per show.
No.
Like each.
No.
So many sound effects.
But if you compliment Evelyn later, it will come again.
Okay.
Yeah. So feel free. But yes, thank you. I work hard on my hair, you know? That's the best thing that's happened since my wife left. I got more time for myself now. People.
Oh my God.
What?
Married?
Used to be.
He used to be. It was weird. I actually was thinking
this
about
has never
this.
Come out on the podcast, is it?
Well, because we edit them out, but we are on good terms now. I talked to her. I just met up with her. So we can put it in the podcast now, Grace. Yeah, we can do that.
I remember when we first met and Nigel was this like really young, fresh-faced little Malaysian boy. Yeah. And I was like, he's
so different
married?
To how he is now.
Yeah, this old kind of
40-year-old.
No.
In a turtleneck.
I'm fresh faced now.
You know?
People call me Oppa on my Instagram.
Nigel Oppa. but so what happened with your... Sorry, now I'm asking the questions. What happened with your wife? Was she Malaysian, Chinese?
No, she's German.
That's why. And there's Karl Marx up there. Karl Marx and Engels.
Yes. We haven't. She took the Hitler one. So she took Mein Kampf. So I only have Karl Marx left. Yeah. You have to understand your culture.
Your culture.
That's what she did. She holocausted our marriage.
Oh, and, Nigel.
And left.
Nigel.
So what was it like being with a white person?
Oh, it's... we make it work. But the thing is, I think over the years, I got a lot more Asian.
Did you? That's like me.
Really?
Oh. Yes.
You're divorced too?
No.
Separated?
I have a partner of 10 years and he's wonderful. He is a white man.
You think it's going to work out?
Yes, I think so. But only because I think he's been trained to be more Chinese over the years.
Oh. How have you trained him?
Yes, let's get into it.
Yeah. How to train your white man to be more Chinese? That's
a film. Well, you know he's impressed your parents when he basically pays for every meal out.
Yes.
And that's when I'm like, yes, my job is done. So it took many years of me like elbowing him at dim sum, be like, okay, now you go and pay. And now he basically turns up at the restaurant, just puts his credit card down.
That's so smart. Before the meal.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very smart.
Asian relatives do that. They fight for the bill, right?
They fight for the
bill. Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's something that really confuses a lot of non-Asian people. It's like, you might... Like often I take my friends out to dim sum and then I'm at the end I'm like, oh, I'll pay. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, I know. White people are like, what?
Okay.
You're like, fuck you.
Oh, damn.
You gotta fight, please.
Fifth time in the row that I'm paying for the meal.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so funny because it's like in my family, my dad and his kind of cousins will argue, but they always have this one cousin who'll just sit there.
Oh, really?
He won't get up to argue. And they're like, oh, he's such a cheapskate.
Is he even Chinese?
I know.
Race traitor.
Really, really cheap. Race traitor. But tell us more about Celestial Peach.
Yes.
Because it's amazing what you're doing.
What is it, first of all, for our listeners who don't know?
Yeah, it's really complicated. As I explained, the Celestial Peaches are the peaches of longevity. So over the past few years, I've been on a vegan journey.
Wow. Say it again. Say it again.
Vegan.
Another Asian vegan.
Hey. I'm so sorry. I bring shame upon my family, upon my community. But actually, that's not true. I'm about 90% vegan. And the 10% that I'm required to be a Chinese person around my family, I do begrudgingly eat a bit of, you know, fish and eggs just to keep my mom happy.
Crispy pork.
No, I can't stretch that.
Drunk
far,
chicken? Oh, no. Hainanese chicken?
No, I miss all that stuff, you know, but...
Siu mai?
No.
Ha gao?
The secret pork and everything, so... Who knows, I may have accidentally eaten pork.
What about oyster sauce when you have veggies?
I even go and buy vegetarian oyster sauce.
No.
Mushroom, oyster sauce. Sorry. Yeah.
But yes, so over the past few years, I've been blogging as Celestial Peach and trying to... I guess educate the public on how I think Chinese food, Chinese flavors and ingredients can be very healthy and vegetarian friendly, which I think is a common misconception still, that, you know, all Chinese food is, you know, very meaty and it's full of MSG and it's bad for you, blah, blah, blah.
If you don't have hanging ducks outside your restaurant, how will we know it's Chinese?
Yeah, that is a good point.
What, are you going to hang a celery stick?
Hang a celery stick. Hang like a tofu.
Yeah, that's good. It's very hard to hang a tofu. Have you tried?
That's so funny.
A leaf.
Yeah.
Hey, a leaf. Noodles and rice, vegan.
Noodles and rice,
not
vegan.
Not egg noodles.
No.
Okay. Like, it's true. Like, but East Asian and South Asian, very good for veggie and vegan. But mostly of the vegan and veggie are like temple food. Mm,
exactly. And there is this long-standing tradition of, I guess, Buddhist cuisine, especially in China and Japan and Korea, where, you know, they can also make vegetables taste like meat. That, I think, is the trick to really good vegan cooking. It's not making fake meat. It's actually just learning to use the flavor profiles of Chinese cooking, which is all about balancing the different flavors and textures, so you don't even miss that flavor of meat.
That's so funny. I actually, this reminds me, I went to a restaurant on Tayo in Hong Kong. It's an island in the archipelago of Hong Kong, and we went to a restaurant, and the name of the restaurant was Vegetarian Restaurant, but they served chicken. And it was the best chicken I've ever had. No, it was like they cooked it. It was like beggar's chicken. So it's like the underground. They cooked it underground and everything.
They bury it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And then like, but they had like, you know, like deep fried tofu and like a lot of really good vegetarian stuff. But like they had meat as well. So it was just I was like, this is so Chinese.
Exactly. Yeah. So actually, I've brought you some things to look at.
Oh yes. My God.
We always love it when the guests bring stuff.
Yeah, especially food.
Last year, I was producing my own products.
This is
called BB Salt. And it's just to illustrate my sort of ideas around principles of Chinese cooking. And it's made from dehydrated miso paste blended with black beans and salt. And you get this real like umami punch from it. So
Can I open it?
You can if you want.
It's a gift for us.
Yes, absolutely.
We need to open it and smell it.
Yeah.
BB Salt. One pinch delivers funky flavor in a tiny punch. The secret is in a custom blend of fermented black beans and miso, which add complex depth and plenty of umami. Use instead of salt in your stir fries, as a dry rub, or on your chips.
This smells amazing.
I mean, it's basically dehydrated soy sauce.
Wow.
Yes, you feel, you smell the miso.
Yeah. I love it.
But and easier it to smell, use because I think soy sauce can be deployed.
I'm going
to
get fish and chips and put this on.
Do it. I was going to put this on a nice piece of steak.
No, you can do. I know people who've done it. I don't judge.
I'm just joking.
Where
I have tempeh at home, actually.
Ooh, handmade in East London. So you make it at home?
Yes. I have a license to make it at home.
You have a license, do you?
I do have a license.
Really? That's not very Asian.
A license to cook.
Cool. That's not very Asian.
It's not very...
Health and safety comes first nowadays.
No. You have been polluted by the Western ideology and propaganda. We don't need no license.
If this was Asian, you would have just taken out like two plastic bags and like a tin.
Yeah.
And like
scooped it out.
Yeah, scooped it out. You're like, take out your hands, put it in our hands.
And I would take payment in cash only.
Yes.
Payment in cash.
Yeah.
Hang on. We're making stereotypes here about Asian people.
This is not stereotypes.
I'm trying to bust those stereotypes.
Our listeners are majority East Asian. So it's more, we're joking about us as a community.
Don't bust the positive stereotypes, please. Keep the positive stereotypes. Yeah. Bust the negative ones. Bust the small dick nerdy stereotypes.
True.
Keep the resourceful underground movement.
Entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The spirit of punk. You know, don't get seduced by Western propaganda.
Cool.
You know, the Western imperialist scum. I sound like a North Korean on this podcast.
Are there all these slogans going on your merch that you've been sort of?
No, that should be right. Our merch will say "Hot pot is better than relationships." That's the slogan.
True.
Yes, you agree?
Yes.
So you make this at home.
I do. I stopped making them for a while. There's two other flavors. There's like a spicy shroom sambal, which is a sambal referencing my Malaysian heritage, using mushrooms instead of shrimp.
Nice.
Yeah. And then there's like a savory seed sprinkle. This sounds like an ad. A savory seed sprinkle.
No, please do.
which is like a deconstructed five spice.
Oh.
Or reconstruct.
So you just basically sell five different spices.
Yeah. I mean, look, white people are pretty gullible when it comes down to it. So
yeah.
Just put some raw ingredients and words in a package.
There's no end to the middle class's white guilt. And also there's no end to their fascination of East Asia.
The way I've been selling it is like, you can put this on your avocados.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can sprinkle it in your Prosecco.
Yeah.
Drink it.
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
Yes. Where can we buy this, Jen?
I have no idea because I've run out of stock. I am going to be producing more soon.
Clearly,
I have my website, which you can...
Because our audience will love this. It's perfect for our listeners who are at home and they're sick of British spices, which is just salt and pepper and maybe parsley sometimes, if they're lucky. You know, so this is great.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm so excited to use it. You should be on like... off menu. Oh, never mind.
I want to go on that podcast.
Yeah, and I'm...
But they should have me on, though. I will bring
they should
this...
definitely have you on.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know why. Why do you get all these things,
I suggested you. People like me.
What? What is this? People like me, too.
Yeah.
I think they see you as a threat.
What?
A threat? Oh, my God.
What do you see me as a threat? I'm just the kindest... I have warm eyes and a nice smile.
And a North Korean personality.
No.
So back to Celestial Peach.
Yes. Sorry, let's bring it back.
So where are you from?
Yes.
Where am I from or where am I really from?
Where are you really from?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Right now, I'm from East London via Southeast London, via Hong Kong and Malaysia.
So many people come on with that combination.
Mm. What, Hong Kong, Malaysia?
Yeah.
Mm.
Too many.
Yeah,
I don't feel special.
Are that combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, you're gonna shit on me now. My mom's from Kuching.
Hey.
Where's that?
That's in Sarawak. It's the capital of Sarawak.
So, which tree do you live in?
Oh, ha ha! Very funny. I actually identify more as Hong Kong Chinese because that's where I grew up.
Oh, you grew up in Hong Kong?
Until I was 11. I was born here and then I grew up until I was 11 in Hong Kong.
How come you guys moved here then?
My parents met and lived here and married here and then went back to Hong Kong for my dad's job. And the idea was always to come back to the UK before the handover.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Before,
and did that happen before the handover?
Though? It did. So I'm betraying my age now. But
I remember.
How old are you?
I remember the handover.
Oh God, that's not a question to ask a lady.
That's fine. We age. I can't even guess. I would guess like late 20s.
I think Nigel. We're the same age.
Yes.
I think we're the
same age. 35.
Okay. Yeah. I'm younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really? Yeah. You got a good skincare routine.
Thank
I think.
You. I don't have any skincare routine.
What?
Yeah.
She's just Asian.
Yeah. Actually, I've become more Asian about my skin as I've gotten older. I used to be. I used to love tanning. I used to love going in the sun, having a tan, and you know, all my Asian relatives would be like, "You're so dark, you're so brown. Why do you like me so brown?" And now I don't go in the sun at all.
You need good sunscreen if you want to go in the sun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My cousin, she hates it. She lives in Hong Kong and she puts on like 50, and like if she gets, I kid you not, just a little bit, she freaks out.
Yeah.
It's a sign of beauty. Like it. It's a sign of beauty in Asia.
It is. Yeah. And it can go the other way. I think they're too paranoid about sort of being too dark.
Yeah, yeah. Because of what it signified in the past.
Mm. Yeah, so I grew up in Hong Kong and I've lived here since the age of 11. But because my dad was living in Hong Kong all along, I've always gone back at least once or twice a year.
Oh, so they divorced?
Yeah, my parents were separated. It's very complicated, Asian parents.
We don't need to go into it.
Yeah, we don't have to go into it. But they were separated, never divorced, because that is losing face in Chinese culture.
That's so
funny. For the purposes of the outside, they were together until my dad sadly passed away 4 months ago.
Oh, yes. So sorry.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so I was going back a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel much more connected to the Hong Kong side of me.
Yeah. If I grew up in Kuching, I wouldn't be connected to that too. I want to distance myself from that part of the world.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kuching's all right. You get really good durian. I'm a huge durian fan.
That's good. Yeah. I like durian.
That's one good thing.
I thought there you would give a bigger reaction than that.
No, I'm thinking I think Peninsula, West Malaysia has better durian because we're close to Thailand.
Oh, yeah. That's where all the good durian comes from.
Yeah, a lot of good durian comes from Thailand. Yeah. And we have a lot of durian farms. I have a relative with a durian farm.
Oh.
Let's go to his place, open up, squat on the floor and eat.
Yeah.
You have to be squatting when you eat durian.
I wish I had a relative with a durian farm. I have an uncle. He's called the Mui Choi Wong of Hong Kong.
Mui Choi Wong, the king of Mui Choi.
Yes.
What's Mui Choi?
Mui Choi is preserved mustard. Unfortunately, not as tasty as durian. But I do get a lifetime supply of it.
Root, or what's it called? The vegetable.
Yeah, mustard. Yeah, and it's very salty and used in very specific dishes.
With pork belly.
Exactly. Mm. Sadly, off menu for me.
So he's the Mui Choi king.
Yeah, the king of Mui Choi. And he has these huge farms where he produces mustard greens and then dries them out and exports them.
Amazing.
Mm. So it must be rich.
I don't know. You know,
you can't be king of a vegetable and not be rich.
But they sort
the whole world eats it.
Every time I visit them, it's like visiting just like a local farmer. So it's hard to tell.
So is it a famous brand?
It is. You can actually buy it here. You can buy it in Wing Yip. You can buy it in Chinatown. The English name is Stone Crane. Very poetic. But just call him Mui Choi Wong.
Oh, so it is Mui Choi Wong.
It is, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, go and check it out.
No. Don't buy sour pickles.
It's nice and like sparingly. It's nice.
Yeah, but you just go to a restaurant and eat a dish with that. Don't buy a whole jar.
It's trying to sabotage my family business.
Yeah.
No, we support Mui Choi Wong here on Rice to Meet You
podcast. No, we support Celestial Peach BB Salt.
We support that too, yes.
Maybe we should put Mui Choi Wong on a hoodie, like this Lao Gan Ma hoodie that I'm wearing.
A little mustard green logo.
The face of my uncle.
Yeah.
Jen is wearing a Lao Gan Ma hoodie, which Lao Gan Ma is a brand of like condiment?
Yeah, chili oil.
Yes.
Chili oil, yeah.
And the mascot, you know, the mascot is an old Chinese auntie.
Who also looks like Nigel.
No.
Come on.
Yeah, she does. She's got the same
hair
as you.
No. Yeah. My hair is better. I might have a down perm on the sides. Uh-huh. And my fringe is nicer.
Yeah, but I bet when you wake up in the morning, you look like her.
No. I don't look like an Asian auntie.
This is getting him really upset.
Yeah. You know how much time and money I spend? You know how much time I spend in front of the mirror to convince myself I'm worth something?
How long do you spend in the morning?
Not that long. Maybe 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
To put wax and then hairspray it. And then,
and then
I
another
blow
45.
Dry, blow dry the comb as well to give it some volume throughout the day. Mm. And then I put on some Regain to make sure I don't lose hair.
Lose the hair.
And then I put wax and then I hairspray it to hold the shape. What? There are a lot of Asian males out there who want to look good. And this podcast is for them. For too long now, Asian men have been emasculated and looked as non-sexual beings.
Off he goes again.
You got to be sexual, people. Get some nice hair.
Oh, God. So Celestial Peach.
Yes. You can call me Jenny.
I thought you were all about breaking the stereotypes.
I am. I fully support you.
Thank you.
I would watch that YouTube channel.
Yes. What's up, guys? Welcome back to my beauty channel.
You could do a beauty haul.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. I'll keep that in mind. Let's get back to Jenny Lau.
Yes.
Who are Hong Kongese and Malaysian.
Yeah. What was your favorite part about Hong Kong when you would go?
When I go, well, I think it's sort of being invisible, actually.
Because you're just another Chinese person.
Yeah, being anonymous. And this is something that I sort of realized quite recently, which is that I am increasingly living like a white person's life in the UK.
Oh my gosh, how?
Well, I feel like, you know, having grown up in Hong Kong, but then come here for schooling, for education, you know, working in various companies. I even lived in Stockholm for a while.
Oh.
I feel like my life has become whiter and whiter. And it was only in the last couple of years that I realized I don't have any Asian friends or any friends who have had the same sort of weird experience as I have. And that's also kind of why I've been doing the activities that I do with Celestial Peach.
That's amazing. Because, and I will say, it is very white to sit at home and make your own salt and then sell it to people. That's very Gwyneth Paltrow. Yes. Very Goop.
I have been called the Asian Goop. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. The Celestial Peach looks like a vagina.
Don't put this up your vagina, whatever you do.
Don't put it up your vagina.
Unless you want it to be tasty. I would have an umami vagina. No worries. Like, if you have an umami vagina, I will not let you leave my flat. You are locked here forever. I'll tell you to sit on my face every day as my alarm clock. I don't have umami when I wake up.
That's so disgusting.
How is that disgusting? You started it, Evelyn. And I'm doing a nice thing here.
I want the umami vagina.
For International Women's Day.
My God.
He's making this all about him again.
I'm being selfless here.
I'm complimenting women.
Yeah.
Mm.
If you have celestial peach topping on your vagina.
Oh my God.
Give me, slide into my DMs, please.
Oh my. Okay. I don't endorse this kind of what, babe? It's not on the list of recipes that I endorse.
I think we might
5 grams of BB salt.
Nigel might have cancelled your brand.
Oh God.
Oh God. We can't release this.
It's too me too right now.
Yeah, just the headlines.
You need consent and BB salt, okay? The two of them go together.
Oh God.
Headlines just like Asian entrepreneur creates salt for vagina.
Oh, don't.
That's how coronavirus spreads.
Look, anything to go viral, like your hot pop video. Yeah. I'll do every dirty trick in the book.
Yes. Yeah. See, you're becoming Asian again. Yes. Welcome back to the family, Jen.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
That's so anyway, funny. So yeah, I'm now getting, I'm fully embracing the Asianness.
Yes.
Thank you. And it's something, I've been leaning into it and I'm organizing these meetups in the past year with other British Chinese people and the wider community. And it's been really nice to meet, you know, other people who also feel not quite here, not quite there.
You've invited us, since we haven't been able to go because we've been so busy, but to these meetups, like you have supper clubs and then you have like, and you're doing all of this in the community center, in a Chinese community center, which is amazing.
Shout out to Hackney Chinese Community Services, my local Chinese community center. I didn't know they existed until last year. Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't realize that there are lots of Chinese community centers, centers for ethnic groups around London who have been around for decades. And I think it's come a point when people like me are very integrated and assimilated into society. So we don't necessarily look for those support networks and community centers until you really need them. So what those guys have said to me is that, look, our youngest members here are 60. And all they do is they come here to play mahjong. They come for
socializing.
They come for lunch club, and that's kind of it. But if we don't have someone like you making it more relatable to young British Asians, then we're going to be dead. So I've been doing more of these fundraising and meetup events that have gone down, I think, quite well.
I should talk to you because me and my friend Melissa, we've wanted to start like a baking day or something like that. She made like this Swiss roll once that was red bean and I can't remember what else, chocolate or something from my Chinese New Year's night. Like she just makes amazing stuff.
Hong Kong bakery style.
Or maybe a bit more Western. But
amazing, amazing non-vegan things though. Oh,
okay. That's when I might have to lean into the 10%, you know, non-vegan.
For an egg tart? Oh.
So good.
I would kill a child for an egg tart. So you can be non-vegan for it.
Yeah, okay.
You are killing a child. It's funny. Killing a chicken child.
Yes. Basically. My least
an
favorite
chicken. Oh,
I love it.
Yeah.
Chicken. I'm being ethical. If you're vegan, you're not ethical because you're putting farmers out of business.
Oh, man.
So I'm being ethical to the humans. You're being ethical to the animal. Who's more ethical here?
But I'm also, you know, I'm doing it for health reasons, actually. So I just, because my I don't know if you've experienced this, but I think that there's a lot of illness and how do we say in both sides of my family there's been a lot of illness in the recent generation, and I think something's gone wrong because both sets of my grandparents lived into their 90s and they had really good long lives. They had you know, illnesses as well, but they just lived forever. And then everyone who's in my parents' generation is dying like mid-70s.
You're speaking to the right person.
Oh, here we go.
What's your experience?
And I just thought of that, and I just realized today my mom's 68 this year.
Has she got health problems?
She does. Mm. Yeah. Oh, no. Hypertension. I think she just became diabetic. My dad has diabetes. My grandfather had diabetes. I've just gotten diabetes, but working on to reverse it. I have hypertension, working on to reverse it. So I think you're right. I think it's probably, it might be because they moved to the West as well, eating Western food that doesn't really suit the diet that they've had and stuff. And and working really hard without any rest.
Yes.
Don't really look after themselves because like exercise isn't a thing. So
I think it's an affluence thing.
An affluence,
also, right? And then food here, you can afford more food, so you stuff yourself more.
Yep.
Yeah. And Asian parents don't go to the gym.
No. They don't.
You think
the
my dad does CrossFit?
Yeah.
You think Simon Ng does CrossFit?
Yeah. I think it's the stress factor, you know, and it's the stress of immigrating and raising children in a foreign country and the basic
business.
Survival.
I've gotten so much healthier since going full time comedy, because I wake up anytime I want, and then there's not really that much stress. Well, there's only stress like before every Thursday I have to put the episode out. That's it. That's my biggest stress point.
That's low key stress.
The Evelyn's causing me.
That's
right
not
now.
Like how am I going to feed my three children? You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's just how am I going to stop this racist like glass bricking my Chinese takeaway stress?
Oh, that's true. I don't have to worry about that.
No,
I live in a nice neighborhood. I'm walking distance from a John Lewis, Marks and Spencer, and a Waitrose. Oh, there's no stress.
That's the dream.
Yeah, there's no
that's
stress.
The immigrant dream, you know.
I know. I joke about it. The
24-hour access to Waitrose.
Nah, John Lewis for me, man. I'm gonna buy some John Lewis furniture and have a white person assemble it for me. Oh. That's an immigrant
just
dream.
Just get a task rabbit.
The day that I can get a white person to do my nails, I think.
Yes, yes.
So do you think being vegan will help counter those health effects?
It's a holistic approach to lifestyle. So I do a lot for stress management, like work-life balance. I basically live like a monk. You know, mostly eat vegetables. I try and sleep enough. I do yoga every day. I meditate. I do breathing exercise. I think you can't have it all in this world. You can't have these crazy sort of aspirations, ambitions that you then work yourself to the bone for, which is a very Asian work ethic as well.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of friends in Asia who do that, and you know, they're just working themselves to an early grave. And I've come to terms with the fact that I'd rather have less money, but a, you know, a really content lifestyle and and enjoy what I do.
You need to teach me.
You don't even work that hard, Evelyn. Oh, you do. You do.
I do.
You're very
I do
busy.
Work pretty,
I am accepting I work, disciples.
So. Yeah. I think I've put myself in a... I have no balance, and I think I've put myself in a situation... I just take too much on. I don't know how to say no, really.
Just say... What do you mean, don't know how to say... Just say no. Just, you know, say no. Tell people to fuck off. Nigel. Or outsource it to someone. That's how you scale a business.
Yeah,
you hire someone, right, Jen?
You go on Fiverr.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
And find someone. It's probably in India or China, actually.
Yeah.
Well, someone who did it really quickly.
I've actually, the thing is, since starting the podcast, a lot of stress has been removed because I feel like I've gained more control with this.
Yep.
And also that's started to slip into the other parts of my life where I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this.
You've gained a bit of like confidence from me and anger.
Anger.
And if you want to help Evelyn find better work-life balance, and so she can say no to things, we have a Patreon, people. Patreon.com/RiceToMeetYouPod. You get bonus episodes and free merch if you join our Rice Emperor tier. So join that. Help Evelyn. She has diabetes now. Put $5 every month away so Evelyn can cure herself of diabetes. And we can keep this podcast going so Evelyn doesn't head to an early grave. How can I podcast with a gravestone? I can't do that. I cremate people. Why don't I put a vase of Evelyn's ashes next to the mic?
I'll stick around. I'll come back as a ghost and podcast.
Yeah, I don't want Evelyn to die. So support our Patreon.
Hashtag pray for Evelyn.
Yes. Hashtag pray for Evelyn. Are you going to support our Patreon, Jen?
Sure. I've just brought plentiful gifts. Isn't that supporting you?
I want
that
next is. Gift.
Yeah, next gift.
What's your next gift?
Do you want to do sweet or savory?
Oh my God.
Savory first, people. Yeah. Evelyn can't do sweet. Oh. She's diabetic.
I'm so sorry.
I'll eat it for you.
A little bit.
No, no. Okay. As a friend, I have to be very North Korean about this. I'll eat it and tell you how it tastes like.
Okay. So self-sacrificing. Have you ever done a mukbang on Rice to Meet You?
No, we can't anymore. Evelyn's all fucked now. Her body's all fucked. So we'll have to do a vegan mukbang. Yeah. Maybe you can do an exercise mukbang, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like self-canceling.
Pull-ups.
While eating.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I went to Chinatown yesterday and I went to Lo's Noodle Factory, if you haven't heard of it.
Yes, I know Lo's Noodle
Factory. It's really oily. You've just touched a whole load of oil. Sorry. Put it in your hair.
You brought us noodles. Oh my God, you brought us noodles.
They make the best rice noodles in the country.
It's and oily, Evelyn.
I think they
Don't
supply like 99% of Chinese restaurants. So if you haven't checked it out, go and visit Lo's Noodle Factory. You buy it at wholesale price.
Yeah, it's in a dingy little alley. You feel like you're going to get stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God,
but that's where the best noodles are, you know?
Yeah. So enjoy. So I was thinking you could do cha kway teow.
Yes.
That's the Malaysian, you know.
Malaysian noodle dish, flat noodles. Mm-hmm. Very delicious.
And I'll do gan tao ngau ha.
Yeah.
What's that? Explain to our listeners.
Gan tao or sup tao.
I like gan tao.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it has the wok hei. Gan tao ngau ha is the most classic Cantonese dish, noodle dish. It's basically, it's beef stir fry. Yeah, and noodles.
But the secret to both of those dishes is that the wok is really, really dirty.
Really hot.
Sorry, really hot.
They never wash it.
Dirty.
They use the oil that's coated the wok from 15 years ago. Yeah, the cancerous, carcinogenic.
Yeah. So every dish actually tastes better.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you give up some years of your life for better food? I would.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I've done.
Yeah. I mean, you went a bit overboard there. Diabetes at 32. That's not good, Evelyn.
No, that's not good.
So it's okay. Mm. We'll work it together, you know. Rice to Meet You will make you healthier.
You've got a personal training team here now.
Yeah.
I'll smack all the cookies out of your fingers.
That is what's going on. Yeah, and for sweets, here we've got some kway.
I'm going to try one of the kways.
Yeah,
try so the I can quay. Report to Evelyn.
Can I just say something? If you're about to eat into microphones, I have this thing about eating sounds.
Yeah, my misophonia.
Yes, and I think...
I'll mute it.
I think Asians... are really bad.
Oh yeah,
at eating sounds.
No.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I can't have this.
Oh my,
it's too high in sugar.
Have you noticed this when you go to Asia? It's like
smack, smack, oh, smack, smack.
Open mouth.
Yeah,
smacking of the lips, using the tongue in very like just. I didn't even know you could do that with your tongue when you're eating. I can't. I lose my appetite when I'm around that.
That's so
I don't know.
Funny.
Yeah, but I think it's a cultural thing too.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know when it started to be considered rude to eat with your mouth open, but it was definitely in the West.
Yeah. And I think it's also this sign of like showing appreciation for your food.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. What's kway?
It's just a Malay term for dessert.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kway, like it can be a pastry. It can be this kind of jelly, jello looking thing.
Okay.
I just had the red bean daifuku mochi, which is delicious. Yeah. It's red bean. Red bean is one of the best desserts that white people haven't got on board yet.
I'm happy for them to leave it alone, you know.
Yeah.
There's some things that they just can leave, you know.
Yeah, before you know it, there'll be a red bean creme brulee.
Oh, I swear. Yeah. I mean,
we need to adapt to survive, right? As a business owner, your parents should have been a bit more business savvy and think, okay, what do people here like? Let's follow that trend.
Well, there are a lot of second generations now coming are doing that.
Yeah.
I think parents, you can't complain when other businesses take over your business. That just means you're a shitty business person.
No.
Sorry. It's a hard truth, Evelyn. But in this capitalistic world, that's how it's going to go. If you run a Chinese takeaway, evolve, adapt. I don't have pity for black cab drivers who say Uber is coming and taking all the jobs. So I have no pity for a Chinese takeaway owner saying all these white people opening their trendy Chinese takeaways. No.
I think there is this, actually, I've been discussing this a lot. There's a misconception that it's very sad when a traditional business such as a Chinese takeaway closes. But actually, often, you know, the children have moved on. They've actually managed to achieve the social mobility that's very progressive and very fast for, you know, within one generation. And it's never a takeaway owner's dream for their children to take over, you know? So it's, I think it can be seen as a positive thing because then they go on to become doctors and lawyers.
Yeah,
and all this.
It's a very positive thing.
We were talking about this like in a previous episode where I went in for a casting and the character was like a Chinese second generation. Mm. And they were like, oh, they're fighting with her parents because the parents don't understand why she doesn't want to take over their takeaway.
Did a white person write that?
Exactly! All of them at once, Nigel. Wow.
I pressed the wrong thing. Sorry.
Exactly. And that's how I knew it was a white person who wrote it. I was like, fuck this bastard.
Oh, man.
Because that will never happen.
Yeah. That would never happen.
Asian parents want you to like, fuck off. Don't work here, please.
Yeah. Just earn lots of money.
Throughout my life, that's what my parents told me. They were like, you do not go into the restaurant business.
Yeah. The funniest thing, in my experience, there is this sort of unspoken sort of truism, which is that with immigrants, you know, with blue collar immigrants, all they want is for their children to become white collar workers. So like doctors, lawyers, dentists. And when they grow up, all they want is for their kids to be academics. Yeah. And then all the academics want is for their children to be creative and artists. Yeah. So I actually studied music and a lot of people say, oh, but your parents were doctors, you know, didn't they want you to become doctors? I was like, no way. My dad and mom worked so hard. They were like, do what the fuck you want. You're so creative. You know, we've given you this very comfortable lifestyle to go and pursue what you wanted. And actually, it's what my dad would have wanted too, if he'd been given the opportunity. Yeah. You know, he would have become a musician. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about, you know, your job and your profession and the expectations that are put on you. We're not all the same.
No, because the thing is, we're people too.
Are we?
No.
We are machines. We achieve.
Yeah. I must say, the work ethic is the same.
The work ethic is definitely
the same. We are still machines.
Don't debunk that stereotype. I would love to keep that stereotype.
Yeah. I've skipped a few generations for
Have
that.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, because my parents are blue collar. I watch too much TV. Mm. But I wanted to get back to, you were saying you became too white almost.
That's a generalizer. Yeah.
No, but I understand that because I think when growing up, you know, as a minority in a country, you tend to, you assimilate, obviously, but in that assimilation, you tend to deny your heritage. Because,
totally. Yeah.
Because it was kind of frowned upon.
Yeah, and all you want to do is fit in, right?
You want to fit in, and you feel ashamed about your heritage and stuff.
I think it's not so much shame, but it's something that you can only realize with hindsight, which is that I went to, you know, a posh school in South London. I went to a really good university. I then naturally, you know, you're surrounded by a lot of English people, and then before you know it, you're having dinner parties and drinking Chardonnay, and it's like, who the fuck am I? You know. I've been making really concerted efforts to get back in touch, or what even is back, get in touch with my parents' heritage. And the easiest way was, you know, firstly to learn about the food, but I'm actually not that much of a foodie. I'm more interested in what does the food tell us about your culture and why do we eat things, how do we eat them, and what, you know, what does it say about us, our kind of society?
So what does Chinese food say about Chinese culture?
I think it's so beautiful, actually.
I think it says, before you go into a proper answer, I think it says, we don't care about our customers, we treat them like shit, but our food is good enough so you'll come back.
Again, I think that's a misconception, Nigel.
What?
Yeah, there's this idea that, oh, well,
I've been abused
are rude.
So many times at Joy King Lao. Yeah.
Well, that's because you're going to Joy King Lao.
Who goes to Joy King Lao?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good, but, you know, there's more nuance to that.
And they're Malaysian, too. Yeah. And they know I'm Malaysian, and they still abuse me. Yeah. I can only imagine the treatment white people get there.
Yeah. Here, sir, welcome. Here's your table. Would you like some tea? Okay.
You should have a day where you like white up Nigel and get the white man's experience.
How do I do that without being racist and cancelled?
It's like the film White Chicks. Have
you seen that? Like the film White Chicks or Eddie Murphy's sketch in Saturday Night Live when he was.
Embarrassingly, I really enjoy the film White Chicks. I don't think it's a woke thing to say now.
Oh, Terry Crews was amazing in it. Like, I would walk 1,000
But yeah, going back to...
Proper answer, let's do it.
The proper answer. Well, I think I only started realizing it when I was introducing my white boyfriend to my family. And, you know, we would go out for meals. And I realized that it's like, you know, it's this whole other world, this whole coded system that you have to learn. It's not really taught. But, for example, you know, when you sit down, it's like, who gets to eat first? You know, who gets which bit on the table? How do you use your chopsticks? How do you use the Lazy Susan? Who pours the tea? You know, do you say thank you? And who pays? All these, like, subtle coded things that can't really be learned. But that I think that really shows Chinese values, which are about, I guess, respect, respecting the elders, respecting your family, making sure that everyone has enough, and also like showing face, which is so important.
Do you think that the everybody having enough comes from poverty?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's why my parents are like hoarders.
Yes. Oh my God, mine hoarders. Too. Yeah. My mother hoards everything.
Do you find you're becoming your parents?
No, I go the opposite. Look at how little things I have, how few things I have. I throw things out. I'm the opposite. My parents are hoarders too, but I love throwing things out.
I love throwing things out
too. It gives me this joy, this Marie Kondo, psychopathic, like, oh, fuck these photos of my friends.
No, but I find myself, I'm like, where's that shirt that I like? Yeah. Oh, I gave it away.
Yeah.
I think that's because you take high blood pressure pills and you can't remember it.
Is that a side effect?
Yeah,
giving things away.
I think it was. My memory's better now. Like, my memory's actually good now.
That's good.
But yeah. So what are some of the etiquettes that Chinese people have?
Oh yeah, well, I think it's things like, well, okay, the chopsticks.
Yes, let's start there. I want to load the Lazy Susan also, but let's start with the
chopsticks. I think is the most hilarious example was once at the funeral dinner for my dad, where my boyfriend was meeting my extended family for the first time. And it was like a very formal, you know, dinner where you're sending the deceased off. And my poor boyfriend, there was like three sets of chopsticks next to him, two spoons. And I was like, okay, now use this one. No, then that one. That's the communal one. Don't put that to your mouth. You know, pick up this one. And it's so confusing if you don't have someone next to you telling you, well, you know, we're using communal chopsticks because you don't want to, you know, dirty the dishes, but then you have to put it down, and then this is the sauce spoon, but you don't use this sauce with that. It's very subtle, I think, and also frowned upon if you do the wrong thing.
Wow. Yeah. I don't even think I'll get it right, because like Malaysian Chinese is it's not as Chinese as you
spoon
people.
And fork.
It's not as Hong Kong.
Yeah, like, spoon and fork.
Yeah, Hong Kong.
You people
are
weird, man. You people.
Like Hong Kong is very steeped in.
Totally. And you know, and then there's like significant things you mustn't do with the chopsticks, like sticking them in a bowl of rice upright,
because let me know.
Chopsticks.
And or placing them on top of the bowl, just laying there.
Yeah. Or pointing
you're
with
finished.
Them. Yeah. Or like playing sounds. The drums with them.
No drums.
God.
Who does that? Like
kids.
Idiots. Yeah.
Kids and idiots.
Yeah.
You'd get a
slap around the face in my family if you did that. Yeah. And then, you know, the tea pouring, you know all about tea pouring.
Yeah, tea pouring.
I think I know a few things.
No teacup is left unpoured.
Yes.
Untopped.
And they do the tapping on the table.
You tap
right?
To thank them.
Tapping, yeah. And then,
yeah.
And also, you know, like the oldest person, to show respect to them, they get served first and they get served the best bit. My granny, the best bit for her was the chicken butt. So she would always get the chicken butt, and we were like, okay, cool.
Old people like that.
Your granny loves butt. Thick chicken.
Yeah, yeah, fish head.
With two C's.
Yeah, thick. Yeah. That chicken is
chicken
thick,
butt,
grandma.
Fish head, fish eye.
Fish eyes. Yeah, my dad got the fish. And then you have to remember, okay, who gets what? Dad gets the fish cheeks. Granny gets the chicken butt. comes to the daughter, who's, you know, the most insignificant person in the family. You get the last bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the white daughter. Yeah, you get the last bit. Yeah. What about the lazy Susan? What's the etiquette there?
Well, I'm quite particular about the lazy Susan. I think it should go clockwise. Have you heard this one?
No.
For good luck.
Oh.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing in some. I picked it up in Tibet, I think, ever since. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like
I'm going to incorporate that.
I
know
monastery.
You're saying, you know, you want to learn more about your own, be in touch with more of your own culture, but I feel like you're overcompensating.
It's true.
Because you're like, oh, shit, I'm too white. What can I do? Let me pick up all these little things. Where real Asians like me, we don't care.
Like me.
Are we arguing about who's more real?
Oh, we don't have to argue. I know I'm more real. It's not another competition. Yeah.
But you're Malaysian. This is Hong Kong. Mm. This is different.
Yeah, but I grew 20 years there.
Yeah.
I still go back there twice a year. Yeah.
True.
And I have no white friends.
True.
Who's the real Asian here?
Yeah. Okay. I bow to you, the superior Asian.
Thank you.
What were we talking
this is
about?
A new etiquette we're doing. Every time you walk into a room of Asians, you have to establish the most Asian, and then everybody else just bows to them.
Pecking order.
That's a good sketch, man. That's a good sketch. Pecking order.
Pecking order. Yeah.
That should be our show title.
But the lazy Susan. Mm. So when I use the lazy Susan, it's always like I always do the side. Oh, you want this? Then I'll go this side. Or oh, you want this? Then I'll.
But if you keep doing
that,
some people never get the dish. You know, it's meant to go in one order so that everyone has a go. You know, it's very democratic.
And then, in the beginning,
in the beginning. And then the thing is, you know, just take one piece. Don't overload your piece.
Just take one piece.
Just take one piece. And don't dig for the best bit.
Yeah, yeah. And then your
take the bit that's closest to you, right?
Yeah. And then your relatives will just give you more.
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as you finished. Yeah.
But I always find now it's quite stressful because like I spend half the meal stood up pouring tea for other people. I think I'm at that phase where, you know, I don't have any younger family members to pour tea for me.
I thought you weren't supposed to stand up.
No, you
can do if you can reach, you know.
Okay. You can't reach. I do remember now. Yeah.
I never do because I have the...
Hypertension?
No. I have the like, she's foreign card.
Oh.
So she doesn't know. She doesn't know.
Do you get that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I sort of have that.
Yeah.
But you're just a better Asian daughter than I am.
Oh,
I'm just lazy.
Know.
So I just... So it's always my cousin who does it for us. But whenever we're there, because we're visiting, and it's like...
But you're a guest then.
Yeah, we're a guest.
Always
a
guest.
We're a guest.
Yeah. One thing I find really funny is when you watch non-Asian people, you know, they're trying really hard with the chopsticks, which is always very commendable because it's hard. And then at some point, like, there are certain foods where it's okay to use your hands, but no one says. So I'll watch, like, all my family members just, like, start to eat the dim sum with their hands, and my poor boyfriend is like grappling with the chopsticks and trying to like pick up the chang fun or whatever. Well, actually, chang fun
you need
chopsticks. You would use, but you know, like certain bows. You can use your hands. It's fine.
Why are you a bow with with chopsticks?
That's so funny.
Yeah, you can do, but you know, it's those like unspoken rules about what's okay and what's
egg tarts.
Not.
You can use your hands.
Yes, totally.
Egg tarts, you can use your hands.
Anything that requires ripping of paper.
Yeah.
Hands.
Yeah.
But can I talk about something that I've seen quite recently, which is like young, mostly Chinese, they go out to eat, and they'll eat in like some trendy Chinese restaurant, and
they don't finish
it. Oh no, just watching their phones the entire time.
I know.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Mm. Well,
in a relationship, you eventually get bored of the person, but you don't want to be alone, so you get stuck in that, and then you look at your phones.
You just
it's normal.
Comfortable.
Oh. It's not a Chinese thing. It's a human thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish it was more acceptable then to like watch your favorite K-drama at dinner.
But I've noticed...
And they put their headphones in too.
And they put their headphones in. But I've noticed with those couples, they order a lot of food.
Yeah.
They eat very little and then they leave a lot of leftovers.
Do they don't dabao?
They don't dabao. Like,
dabao's takeaway.
Yeah, and I think that's a new thing that's happened with because of the wealth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's some kind of,
it's some kind
rich
of status.
Second generation. Yeah. Well,
or are they just like gramming it and then, you know, take one bite and throw it away?
Maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't generalize Chinese people.
No, you can't.
Okay?
No, you can't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's something I've noticed.
Yeah. But I would love to be able to watch my favorite Korean dramas while eating.
Yeah.
Who needs company?
Do you think you could get away with it?
No. I'll feel too rude. I'll feel too rude. We want to talk about the funeral. Let's talk about funeral.
Okay, yeah.
So, I heard you had a funeral recently.
Yeah. It's okay. You know, let's get the laughs out of the way, because actually...
I'll make the funeral funny. Just you wait.
We'll do it.
Oh, just please don't be offended.
No, I'm not offended.
It's all right. People die all the time.
People die all the time. 4 months ago, my dear father passed away, and...
I'm sorry, Dad. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to throw this umami packet on you.
Perfect use of the sound effect.
Nigel's now laugh crying. Hold your pee in as well. He's going to wet himself.
Oh my God.
I told you I was going to make it funny. Fucking wham! 5 seconds later, promised.
Oh God.
Delivered.
Anyway, so I had to go back to Hong Kong for my dad, who sadly died. And
don't you dare, Nigel. Don't you dare.
I wasn't going to.
Have you ever been to a Chinese funeral?
Yes.
Yes.
My grandmother passed away, and we had like a hupe version.
Oh my God.
Of that.
It's so intense.
Yeah, you have to have like a white scarf on your shoulder. Yeah. And
You're crying with Nigel. Laughter. He's crying, but it's not from sadness or empathy.
I know, it really tickled me.
Grace is like, these idiots. Such a cheap, cheap trick.
Oh God.
What a cheap trick. Yes. Okay. Yeah, talk about a funeral.
Yeah, let's talk about a funeral. Yes, I had to organize my dad's funeral in Hong Kong, which was probably the most stressful thing I've ever done, because a Chinese funeral is like a Chinese wedding, but just really sad. And I was like, for 2 weeks, I was this full-time funeral planner. I'd never done a funeral in Hong Kong anyway. I had to do it in Cantonese, and my Cantonese is really shit. And there's like all these customs and rites that you have to learn. And I just remember, you know, like 12 hours after his body was barely cold, I had to go to the funeral parlor and book the crematorium, which, you know, in Hong Kong, it's like there's a real backlog because,
so many people die
and they have to burn them all because there's no space to bury people. And then this funeral director was just like yabbering at me about what you have to pack in the coffin. It's like, you have to pack four sets of clothing for the summer, four sets of clothing for the winter, and then this and that, and his favorite item, and, you know, this. And all that time, I didn't even have time to grieve and like come to terms with his death. Yeah. And then it was like, you know, let's go, Operation Funeral.
So you didn't have like any family members who could help?
I did. Or? I had my brother and my mom who were there helping me, but you know, you have to like do the invite yourself, and it goes on the family WhatsApp, which is like a crazy entity in itself.
Yeah.
You must have a family WhatsApp.
Asian family WhatsApp.
Oh my
group,
God.
Man. The number of good morning messages.
Yeah.
With the flower.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
and just like, and the amount of chain mails and stuff.
Like, yeah.
FWD, FWD, FWD. Yeah. Do not wash your hands, exactly. Coronavirus.
Oh my God. Yeah. Aunties and uncles responsible for spreading coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't forward
this message, your mom will die tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If this number calls you, don't answer. It's a scam.
Oh God.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. So the thing about Chinese funeral is like, again, it's like the same thing about, so much of it is about face and so much of it is transactional. So like a Chinese wedding or like Chinese New Year, there's so much exchange of money. And there are all these customs about how much money one should give or receive. So you know that in Chinese culture, like, odd numbers are unlucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you have to make these like red packets to give to all the attendees, everything has to be an odd number. So you have to give like $1 out to every person. And then, but when they come, they have to give you white gold, which is like condolence money in a white packet. And then that has to be an even number. And then you have to like write down, okay, this family member gave this much money and this friend gave this and this person didn't give any. So, you know, I'm not going to his funeral. And then you have to like keep a tally of who's given what money. It's so transactional. And there's like basically no space for emotion or grief.
Yeah, there's.
And then the actual ceremony itself is like, you know, we had quite a simple Chinese funeral, but it was pretty Chinese, and I'd never experienced something like that, where you're standing at the front and like you, every person who comes in to pay respect bows, you know, they bow to the deceased and then they bow to you, and then you're standing there with your, me and my brother, and like we had to bow back. And at the beginning my brother was like, why are you bowing so low, like you're gonna get tired. And I was like, dude, it's respect, you know, I'm just gonna bow at this 90 degree angle. And then 200 bows later I was like, fuck this, I'm not, it just became a head nod, you know. And yeah, I was so tired, you know, just standing on my feet bowing all day.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's really interesting, because I think this is a very Chinese thing, which is like, you don't particularly show or express emotions, but there there's like this template, this guide for how to express it in other ways.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, instead of emotion, do these things. Mm. Like my dad, I remember when my grandfather passed away, he did not cry. Mm. Like he did not seem sad at all. Mm. Not that he did not seem, he just kind of, he was like, okay, we have to do this and we have to do this. I never saw him cry. Mm. And especially when his dad died, he was like, it was just, he was just doing things.
Yeah, it's a very Asian dad.
It's a very Asian dad Asian thing. Yeah. And the bowing thing, because it's like, when we go to visit my grandfather's grave, we always bow three times when we get there and then when we leave. And my dad, he's always like, it's almost like he's a commandant. And I just imagine, because white people have seen us do this. So he's like, okay, Junbei, yeah, ye sam, yeah. Ye some and then we
it's
just
military
stand, yeah, yeah. And it's like, you're really like, and I'm like, this can't be respectful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, it's so ridiculous. Yeah. And I just imagine the white people walking past, they're like, well, I mean, yeah, like how many Chinese stereotypes we must be perpetuating.
Yeah, I don't know, but it feels like at the time it feels like you're going through the motions, but actually it is very helpful, because there's this feeling of solidarity too. It's like the emotions can come later, because you're still in shock at that point. So to be given this guide of like, well, this is how it's done and this is how you're meant to feel, is actually quite helpful.
Was your boyfriend there?
He was. He was there and he witnessed the whole thing.
And how did he kind of respond to it?
Yeah, he was really helpful. But again, you know, it was completely alien to him and to me as well.
What do Western people do when they die? What are the customs? Are there any customs? Do you have to wear a suit?
You just wear black, you have eulogies that you talk and stuff, and then you can show as much emotion as you want.
Yeah. Depends if you're religious as well, you know, like if you're religious, it's quite helpful, because then the church kind of looks after you and organizes the funeral, and then you have like a vicar kind of, or pastor, like leading the ceremony. I kind of had to put the ceremony together myself, because we chose not to have a religious one. Those religious funerals, the Chinese ones, are crazy. They go on full of days.
Yeah. Number of gongs and cymbals.
And it's so loud.
Yeah.
So loud.
It's hard to be sad when it's just boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to wear special clothes and stuff.
Yeah, they have that little wooden thing.
Yeah.
My grandma died a Buddhist death. So, I mean, we did a religious Buddhist burial thing. Cremation, actually. So there's a lot of like, they got monks coming over, walking in a circle, wearing a robe, hitting that, we call it a muyu. This is the little praying thing. It's a wooden thing, you knock and it makes a sound. Tuk, 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 and then you just chant like scriptures and stuff.
Yeah.
It's to scare the evil spirits away, isn't it?
I don't know why we do it.
Yeah.
I just did it because my mom was doing it and she told me to do it. So I like my grandma, so I was like, okay, that's fine, I'll do it.
I feel like that's a lot of what Asian children do. There's like, just my parents told me to do it, so I'm just doing it.
I don't ask questions. I'm not trying to overcompensate for something, you know?
Yeah. Well, like I was told, okay, put a bit of food out every night for the first 7 days, because the spirit will dine at home.
Yeah.
And then on the seventh day...
Don't put out vegan stuff, though.
Because sorry, no.
Grandma, my dad would be, would be like, what the fuck?
You're no daughter of mine.
Yeah.
And then on the seventh day,
he would wake up from the coffee and be like, what the fuck, man?
He would come back to life for that.
He would. Yeah.
No, on the seventh day, so apparently they visit the home for the last time. So then you have to leave a light on, and then you mustn't leave your bedroom when you go to bed. Some people actually, if they really believe in this stuff, which I don't, like, they put talcum powder on the floor to see if the spirit
walks. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so funny.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
In that case, I would go out and just do like
mouse steps. Yeah. But I think it was such a transformational experience as well, because also in a Chinese funeral, you're very close to the dead body, actually, because they have these open caskets, and it's very usual to see the dead body, and it was very
reassuring.
They preserve
it well too.
They do. Yeah. You know, 3 weeks later, I was like, oh,
the skincare routine, man. If I can get an Asian corp skincare routine, I'll look perfect for the rest of my life.
They took 20 years off my dad.
Yeah, I know. It's. I remember my grandma was like, holy shit, yeah. She's a looker now.
Yeah.
What a shame, grandma.
Perfect pause. Yeah.
But it's because they put on like spackle and stuff. Like
spackle, oh god.
I love
like
it.
Cementing spackle.
Yeah,
you need to get the 10-step Chinese funeral skincare routine.
That's really funny. You should do a parody of that.
Thank you. Thank you.
The special beauty line.
Yes.
Look as good as a dead person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go back to the Chinese community center thing.
Oh yeah.
So I think what we're trying to do here is essentially the modern, digital, trendy version of what the Hackney Chinese Community Center is trying to do.
Okay.
They have to evolve with the times. Mm. Nobody goes to a brick and mortar place for community things anymore. Oh. Everything's online now.
Yeah.
They listen to our voices, they connect, and they know there's other people listening, and it becomes a community digitally. So this is how you survive. This is how you create a community now, people. Don't just rent out a space, a town hall, and call this, okay, this is the community. Nobody's going to come. It's podcasting and online content now. That's where you build your community.
You're so cynical. Like we.
It's just the fact of the world. Yeah. The live Rise to Meet You podcast is going to replace Hackney Chinese Community Center.
Oh my
Center.
God, it's We're going to fight this together.
Oh.
Nigel, I actually think we can use our platform to help them. We should have our live recording there.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
Again, you're going to think I'm cynical now, but I think this thing is, it's just, the world has moved on. We can't hold, it's the same way, you can't just keep protecting black cabs. You got to let the free market dictate what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we got to let it die. Mm-hmm. And then we can evolve.
Nigel, we can't abandon the older generations. Mm. It's about connecting the younger and older generation. Mm. And I think we could use our platform to actually do some good.
We'll get the older generation on the podcast.
Yeah. It would be amazing to interview an
older
generation.
I'm happy to have them on the pod.
Person.
Yeah. Please put it in
I
touch.
I sure will. You'll need a 4-hour session.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. They will be telling
we'll
stories.
Take turns. I'll go get food and Evelyn, you can talk.
Amazing stories. Like, we could do it in Cantonese even. Because, fuck, that would be funny.
We will be, we will record this as a part of history. We will immortalize their stories.
Sure.
And we're actually doing way better things than the community center, because that is ephemeral. It's going to be gone soon once they all die, we have our podcast recorded.
Okay. I don't know why it's not a trade-off.
Sounds cynical, but it's the way forward.
But why are you wanting to like just bulldoze over this community center?
I'm not bulldozing it. I'm just saying don't save it.
You're like, you're the...
He is gentrification, this guy.
Gentrification. No.
You're bulldozing the temple, the old historical buildings, the grade 2 listed.
Exactly. You're the bad guy in the film. You're like the owner of the building company who's like, ugh, this community center is awful.
He only sees dollar signs.
Yeah, exactly. I've bought this area now. Here's your eviction notice.
Oh my God. I hate this guy.
Oh my God.
I'm finding the most effective way to build a community, and it's through online stuff. It's not through a building.
But that's not the issue. Like, yes, we're building a community through online stuff, but that's just like a generational. They want to find a way to combine the generations.
Oh.
Well, so you can't get granny on Instagram, you know.
Yeah.
They just want to go and play Mahjong, honestly.
Yeah, they just want to. I think it's a great idea. We should actually come and talk to some older generation Chinese to try and actually record some of their stories and document it.
Go to when they play Mahjong and they just chat to us.
You won't hear a single thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing a dating session?
What do you mean? Like speed date? Rise to Meet You speed dating?
Yeah, like single Asians who want to meet other Asians.
Well, come to the Rise to Meet You live podcast and then meet people, talk to them, do your hair nice, be a sexual Asian male. Only because stereotypically we are seen as asexual. I'm just trying to change that.
No, I agree.
Yeah, see? Yeah. We are invisible in the sexual sphere.
Mm. But you're going overboard.
That's how you affect change.
I want to put umami vagina in my mouth.
Are you going to tell Rosa Parks, sitting in front of the bus, that's overboard. It is overboard, but it works.
I don't think talking about umami vagina on a podcast equates to what Rosa Parks did. That undermines her whole activism.
That analogy still holds, okay?
Nigel, activist.
Yeah.
Just humanitarian.
Like Rosa Parks.
I'm going to add that to my LinkedIn profile. Nigel Ng, activist / comedian. I'm the wokest person.
Oh, God. Oh, that's so funny. Okay.
So, where can we find you, Jen?
I'm mostly hanging out on Instagram as celestialpeach_UK. I also on my website, celestialpeach.com.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. You can find BB Salt by Jen. By Jen's BB Salt. From her Instagram and website too as well.
Yeah.
You can find me on at Mr. Nigel Ng. What about you, Evelyn?
I'm on at Evelyn Mock, and you can find me on the socials, and I have a newsletter too, so sign up to that, and I'll keep you posted about the things that I get up to.
That's great. Thanks for coming, Jen.
Thank you for having me.
It was so lovely to have you. See you guys next week.
See you next week. Bye. Thank you so much to all our patrons for helping us get through these difficult times. And if you're a Rice Emperor and above, you should be getting Rice to Meet You stickers, so let me know if you haven't received them yet. We want to shout out our patrons who are at the Rice Emperor tier and above. Adrian Seah, Ellison Vargas, Andrew Aoyong, Anu, Azwan Ahmad, Chia Yi, Debbie Lee, Chen Yuzhe, Elizabeth Allen, Estefania Lee, FSP, Gabriella Bromley, Gabby Suarez, Grace Rods, Haley Devereaux, Harry Yarnell, Yan Godfrey, Jasmine Chong, Jeff Chow, Jenny Chan, Jordan Cathcart, Judith Abraham, K.N. Ng, Kerry, Laura Lee, Leong, Manhua Siu, Mei Lin, Mariah Bell, Nadia Islam, Ong Mei Yen, D-Team Emergency Response Team Wimbledon, Rebecca Tracy, Rose Kelly, Sabrina, Sandy, Sin, Sizhe, Tom Green, Vera, Virani Vera Wong, and Wilson Yao. Thank you so much for your support.